Chapter 3. Will You Accept This Rose? Jin checks his watch and wishes he hadn't, because it's nearly 4 and all he wants to do is sleep, not fall in love. If someone had asked him who he loved most in the world at this moment, he would answer without hesitation the PA who just brought him kimbap, a glass of wine, and cream to rub underneath his eyes to make them look less baggy. She hadn't even smiled at him, but he'd be willing to enter into a binding legal agreement with her immediately if she could guarantee a bed for them. Or just for him, really. Any kind of bed. Instead, he heads into the production area, what he's been calling Destiny Command, and waits for them to tell him what's next. Haibin and Songchul are deep in conversation, but they wave him over as soon as the snack PA points him out. He weaves through the knots of people, most of whom sound much snippier than they had in their pre-show discussions, until Haibin can shove a tablet under his nose. "We've already decided most of the 12 who will stay," she says, tapping away on her phone. She reminds him so much of Naeyoung that he actually smiles, and Songchul smiles back at him like they're sharing an inside joke. Haibin doesn't notice, adding, "They're all subject to your approval, of course, per the contract terms, but we're hoping there won't be a problem." "They're all subject to your approval, of course, per the contract terms, but we're hoping there won't be a problem." She says it in the tones of someone who knows there won't be, and Seokjin sees no reason to make one. "I'm sure it's fine." He flicks through the names and pictures without much interest. It's all pretty much as he expected, if he's being honest. The pretty ones head the list, the ones who could turn into nightmares or be the ultimate story. Kim Taehyung, John Jungkook, Lee Hee-chul, and Park Jimin fall into this group, and the limited part of Jin's brain that cares about this knows that the winner will be one of them. Probably not Jimin, whose intensity seems better suited to chaos, but all of them are pretty and photogenic, which is perfect for his new image as gay poster boy. Then there are a couple of charisma guys, the camera guys, Jung Ho-seok and bartender Lee Hyung-min, who will be fun and light and keep everything from being a total slog. He hopes they stick around for a while, if only to keep him sane, because they'd been the easiest scenes of the night by far. And what follows are the people he assumes have some kind of storyline the producers want to see through, though he can only vaguely guess at what it might be. Kim Min-ho, fainting superfan, is obvious, but he's not quite sure what tales Kim Nam-joon and Park Gun-woo might have buried inside of them. Nam-joon had spent most of their times together talking about how to identify cheeses blindfolded, entirely unerotically, and Gun-woo the waiter seems like a standard actor hopeful to him. But it's all fine. All of them were pleasant enough and will make a good show, and Jin nods agreeably until he gets to the last name on the list and frowns. "Min Yoongi?" he says, looking up at Haibin. "Really?" She laughs. "He's not going to win, don't worry. But he makes a good villain, which we need." It's fair, and Jin gives in as gracefully as he can. "Does that mean I can be rude to him?" "Please," says Haibin, and Songchul nods vigorously. "It will get better footage. Keep up a limited amount of attraction, of course, and we'll cut out anything that might make you look bad. You know where the lines are."
"Very well," says Jin.
"Who are the last two?" "Up to you," says Haibin. "We've picked the ones we know are good for us, but you're the one who talked to them. Anyone else?" Jin skims the list of remaining candidates with his most serious face on, flipping through his vague memories of an evening that's already mostly gone. One moment sticks out, and he points at Shin Wono's picture with only a little embarrassment. Hyben looks down and breaks into a Cheshire Cat grin. You won't hear any complaints from me, or the viewers. So sure. And the last? He has nothing else to give, his brain empty of ideas, so he points at another guy at random, a Choi Ji-hun, who he remembers as a YouTube guy who specializes in stunt work. Helpful, he guesses, if they do anything requiring people to fall over on cue. Hyben agrees, and she takes her tablet back with a brisk gesture. We'll put them in a good dramatic order, and a PA will feed you the names. 10 minutes? The makeup artists can touch you up in the meantime. Though you look great. Thank God. It's so nice to work with a professional. Jin touches his watch as he thanks her, then wanders back through the exhausted editors and hopes that there might be more food available while he waits. When he makes his way back into the mansion, he's ready to smile again, and he unleashes it on the arrayed men carefully. They look tired and drunk and nervous, but it's a little sweet how they all perk up when they see him. Sweet and heartwarming, and Jin resolves to take that out of this experience at least. That there are people in the world who can be made happier by his presence, even if it's because he's a prize to be won. Jimin waves with both hands, his eyes sleepy but happy, and Jin's smile turns a little real as he waves back. The producers arrange all of the sight lines, settling Jin on his mark next to a table of 11 roses, and he takes the list from a PA and memorizes it. The speech he's already had drilled into him from day one, and when they give him his cue, he picks up a rose and holds it fetchingly near his lips. Thank you so much for being here tonight, he says. He makes sure to look at them all 20 men, because they'd spent a night of their life here doing this, and he is grateful. This show is ultimately for him, to fix him in some way with the world, and that's not something he takes lightly. So he thanks them all with his eyes, smiling easily as they stare back at him. He's even grateful to Yoongi, who looks just as bored and twice as dismissive as he had during their talk. Because Yoongi takes this all lightly, and clearly thinks Jin is some kind of vapid joke, but, if nothing else, he's clarified Jin's own goals to himself better than anyone ever has. Pandering is an honorable art form, and he'll happily do it, so he smiles at Yoongi even more sincerely when their eyes meet. I've loved meeting you all, truly, and I'll carry the memory of this night with me forever. And not just because 20 handsome men staring at me at once has been a recurring dream since I was a teenager, he says, with the hint of deprecation he'd practiced tirelessly in the mirror the night before. The men all laugh politely, Hoseok's audible over them all, and Jin smiles one last time before he picks up a flower. Jungkook. Jungkook jumps forward with wide eyes and a wider grin, jogging up so quickly he trips over the rug, then laughs at himself. Will you accept this rose? Says Jin, like that didn't happen. Yeah, says Jungkook, taking it and bowing deeply. Thank you so much. Jin's been instructed not to have any individual conversations during this scene, so he bites back an automatic response, but Jungkook doesn't seem upset as he dances back to his place. He twirls his rose in his hand, then turns around and touches it to Taehyung's, pretending to sword fight with them until a producer tells them to knock it off. Hoseok, he says, picking up the next flower, and Hoseok is only slightly less energetic in his approach, though he doesn't trip. He also knocks his flower against Taehyung's on the way back, which makes Taehyung laugh. Jin winds his way through the list without having to check the order even once. Namjoon looks shocked to be selected, and he blushes cutely when he has to look Jin in the eye. Minho is just as overwhelmed, while Heechul and Kunwoo take it like normal humans, which Jin is a little grateful for. Wonho is among the drunkest of them, which Jin hadn't realized when he'd chosen him, but he remains upright with an impressive show of will as he takes the flower from Jin's hand with tears on his cheeks. And Jihan and Hyungmin are shy and comedic, respectively, and then he has only two roses left. Everyone in front of him looks a lot more nervous, and Jin braces himself for the next few minutes. Jimin in particular looks like he might cry, and Jin knows they'd put him last for that very reason, but it's still painful to watch. Which is good, he thinks, because the audience will feel the same tension, but it's very hard to look at him right now. "Yoongi," says Jin, and there are a series of gasps from the group, including from the people who already have roses. Hoseok's eyes widen as he stares at the bucket hat in front of him, and Jimin looks like he's been betrayed in some fundamental way that Jin doesn't understand. Only Taehyung looks completely ecstatic, though his ecstasy is almost enough for 20 people. No one looks as shocked as Yoongi, though, who doesn't move forward until Hoseok pokes him in the shoulder blade. And then Yoongi is moving, slouching into himself as he walks, which should make him look small, but it doesn't. Yoongi is small, Jin realizes for the first time, incredibly tiny, though he hides it well by taking up extra psychic space. It's a neat trick, and studying it occupies the time it takes for Yoongi to shuffle across a room that Jungkook crossed in the blink of an eye. "Will you accept this rose?" asks Jin, looking at Yoongi's chin, which is somehow annoyed. Jin hadn't known chins could look annoyed before now. There's a long moment of silence, and Jin's eyes flick up suddenly to the rest of Yoongi's pinched face. He's almost certain he's going to say no. He can practically hear that gravelly refusal, and he wants to laugh. God, he needs to sleep, and he doesn't know what they're going to do if it happens, but at least it will make good TV. Yoongi's eyes are dark and unreadable, but he smiles and says, "I guess." It's not a real smile, because the clockwork is back, but it gets closer when Yoongi reaches up and sweeps his hat off. A few of the men behind him laugh, though they cover it up quickly, but Jin's done laughing with this guy. There'd been a millisecond, a brief span of a breath, where he'd seen that green hair and thought, wow, but that felt like 1,000 years ago. And he's even more irritated with himself for allowing that brief moment to happen in the first place, which means he's done with a lot more than that when it comes to Yoongi. So he doesn't say anything, just keeps a neutral look on his face, and Yoongi takes a long beat of silence for himself. He blinks, slowly, then grabs the flower and turns around to make his way back to his left center position. Jin's watching him closely, just because he's the only thing to watch, so he sees the moment where he shies away from something, taking a little shuffling step to the side that's so far outside of his casual demeanor that he might as well have screamed in terror. But when Jin looks up, it's no wonder, because Jimin is glaring at him like he just drowned a bag of kittens in front of them all, the heat of it burning across the room. Jin must betray his surprise, because Jimin looks over at him and blinks, forcibly changing his face into a happy smile. But Jin knows from the pleased look on Director Han's face that they got more than enough coverage of it already. Jin picks up the last flower as quickly as he can, possibly interrupting another shot by the annoyed grunt of someone to his left, but he smiles and says quickly, "Jimin." They'll splice in some other instance of him looking pensive and uncertain, drag the moment out in airing, but right now, he just wants this to be over, and he doesn't want anyone to get in a fistfight, because fistfights are exactly the sort of thing he doesn't need around him right now. And it works, because Jimin's happy smile turns into happy shock, and he trips forward with a relieved giggle to take the flower from Jin's hand before he can even ask the question. "We have to do it in the right order," says Jin, as gently as he can. Jimin flushes as he hands the flower back and waits for Jin to say his line. His fingers work nervously in front of him, but he takes it again with every appearance of happiness, and he doesn't try to touch Seokjin at all.
"Thank you," he says quietly. "Thank you."
And he sounds so truly grateful that Jin wonders what he thinks this show is, but Jin nods anyway before releasing him back to the crowd. That crowd that's a blend of happiness and sadness and anger and so many emotions that Jin can't even begin to handle it. The men of destiny who are leaving are already gone for him, ghosts he can barely perceive, and he does his goodbye scenes with them with the appropriate sadness and gratitude and sympathy. And then he can leave them to the gentle care of Kevin Koo and go to the guest house that's just for him to sleep in. Alone. He carefully moisturizes every inch of his face before he falls into bed without taking off his suit. He wakes up at 9, which is 3 hours after he usually wakes up, but still 2 hours earlier than he wants to, and he runs on the guest house's ancient treadmill to take away some of the puffiness of the day before. The production team is waiting for him when he gets out of the shower, a cold lunch on the too small coffee table, and he doesn't really want it, but he eats it anyway, because he knows it's going to be another long day.
2 date shoots today, says Sangchul, handing him a schedule. They all look even more exhausted than he feels, but they don't have to hide it for the camera at least. A solo date while we have the light, and then a group one later that's indoors. Both are off-site.
Jin skims over the plan, memorizing it without internalizing it, as he's good at doing. He's relieved to see Jungkook up first, because Jungkook is hard to believe as a person, but he'll be an easier filming partner than some.
"Do you have a goal for me?"
They'd talked to him about that a lot, in the prep, how they set up the storylines and the moments, and tried to find an emotional through-line for everyone. It made sense, and when he'd volunteered to be brought in on the plans to help them unfold correctly, they'd been thrilled at his willingness to do his job.
"We want it to be somewhat natural still," says Sangchul. "We're still figuring out what will work, but if you could get him to open up about his reasons for being here, that would help. Other than that, just have fun. Be interested, but reserved."
Jin smiles to himself, but it's not very amused. "I'll do my best." They're filming shots in the house proper as he waits, getting some light makeup and picking out clothes that are resort casual, suited for the outdoors, as requested on the schedule. He reads another script as well, a movie he'd been hoping to be a part of a few months ago that now seems as far away as the moon, but it's still nice to dream, he supposes. As much dreaming as he allows himself to have. When they pull a sports car into the driveway, he knows it's almost time, and he gives himself a once-over as he moves to his mark. He's barely there before Jungkook bursts out of the front door, whooping, and Jin doesn't have to work very hard to put a smile on his face, especially when Jungkook skids to a stop in front of him and says,
"Hi!"
"Hello," says Jin.
"You look great."
Jeans and a t-shirt aren't much of a look, in reality, but Jungkook could make a trash bag work if it showed his forearms, so it's not exactly a lie. And Jungkook hardly notices as he looks at the car, then back to Jin.
Thanks for picking me first. Where are we going? Can I drive?
Maybe on the way back, says Jin. Though in reality, they're just going to do a few establishing shots, and then a production van will drive them to the actual site. As for where we're going, that's my surprise.
Right, but your invitation said, let's play games, but not with our hearts. So what kind of games? Video games? I'm really good at video games.
He chatters on about some shooting game that Jin's never heard of, waving his arms around as he tries to show Jin how the characters work, and it's cute enough that Sung-chul motions Jin to let it go on for a bit. His eyes wander back to the mansion, where there are people pressed against the windows watching them, and he has to suppress the urge to freak them out by blowing a kiss. Eventually, Sung-chul's had enough video game enthusiasm, so Jin breaks in gently and guides Jungkook to the car. They drive around a bit, getting a few interior and exterior shots that will sell the journey, then pile into vans for the longer trip. Jin isn't allowed to ride with Jungkook, lest they have some important conversation when the cameras can't film them, so he reads more of his script and texts Na-young a few updates, until they pull up to a somewhat ramshackle amusement park in the middle of nowhere.
Is this a real place? He asks Sung-chul as they're setting up, and he grins.
Real enough, he says. It's not usually running this time of year during the week, but they opened it up for us and we got some extras. Authentic, but controlled, the way we like it.
Jin laughs, then jumps as Jungkook comes over and takes his hand, a camera crew following behind him. This is great, he says, tugging Jin towards the waiting buildings. They have so many games. And ice cream! I thought dating you would be opera and caviar, but this is so much better.
I'm glad you like it.
I love it. Can I win you an animal?
I don't know. Can you? Says Jin, as they pull up in front of a stall.
Jungkook grins at him, completely immune to teasing. Yep.
So Jin lays his money down, money that he knows a PA is counting carefully on their clipboard, and Jungkook picks up one of the baseballs and tosses it back and forth as he studies the neatly stacked bottles down the way. Jin thinks privately that he'll be lucky to even hit them, given the distance, but he's not prepared for the moment when Jungkook stops tossing, winds up, and unleashes a fastball that not only decimates the bottles, but nearly burns a hole through the canvas behind them. His hand flies to his heart as he squeaks and steps back, and when Jungkook turns to him with his arms over his head in victory, Jin can barely summon the presence of mind to clap.
Are you sure you're not a professional pitcher? He asks finally, swallowing down his shock.
Seems like you've got the talent for it.
Jungkook's face dims as he shakes his head.
No, he says. I was going to be for a while, but I messed up my shoulder. Had to have surgery, and now I'm pretty good but couldn't go pro. Not with the medical risks. He says it all quickly, like it's something he's told people before, and Jin transitions into concern without even blinking.
Oh, Jungkook, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It was a long time ago, says Jungkook, like he's some kind of middle-aged man, instead of just barely old enough for Jin to date comfortably.
I'm just glad I can still do so much. I'm lucky. Besides, there are lots of dreams out there, right? That's what I figured anyway.
Is that why you're here? To find a dream? Asks Jin.
Jungkook's smile comes back like it had never gone. I came here because my aunt really wants to meet you when you do the hometown visits, he says. If I make it that far anyway.
Jin shakes his head, a little charmed at his sweetness, but knowing that answer won't suffice for a storyline without even needing to check. He lets it go, though, picking out a prize with more consideration than it really warrants. Jungkook immediately names the chosen llama Ultimate Neck Boy, and Jin doesn't argue. One of the PAs takes it to carry around for their other setups,
though they practically have to drag Jungkook away from the other fairway games. In the end, it's only the promise of ice cream that finally gets him to stop looking back longingly at the ring toss. Ultimate Neck Boy sits beside them as they eat their ice cream at a table in a totally silent amusement park, and the conversation flows easily enough. They talk a lot about his personal training job, some horror stories of injuries that mean Jin can playfully yell at him not to spoil his appetite, and then some inspirational stories of the people who came to him scared and left as superheroes that will play very well with soft music inserted into the background. They walk around to the other filming locations like they're a true couple, holding hands through the fairway, going on a couple of rides together, including a bumper car experience that Jin is never going to repeat at his advanced age. Jungkook gets cotton candy for dessert after his dinner, which was also dessert, and Jin gives him a hard time about it, until it makes him feel more like Jungkook's dad than his date. It doesn't help when Jungkook lets some of the spun sugar slowly dissolve on his tongue without any artifice at all, the afternoon sun making his skin glow gold, and the scoop of his t-shirt dipping into a sharp collarbone that Jin would have to be dead not to appreciate. But mostly, it's just a sweet time, an almost happy way to spend a day on set. And Jungkook claims he's usually shy, but Jin would never know it from his constant conversation. When Jin asks if he's sure he's not an extrovert, Jungkook only laughs. "You're just really comfortable to be around," he says, like something Jin would say is a plant, but he seems to mean it. "You're really good at making space for people." "Thanks," says Jin, knocking their elbows together and startling another laugh out of him. "That's a pretty deep thought." "Oh, it's not mine. That's what Namjoon said," says Jungkook. "That guy is really smart. Like, really smart. He says things like that all the time. I need to write them down." Jin smiles and says, "I'd rather talk about you right now." "Okay," says Jungkook. "But can I win animals for everyone while we do? I want to take back gifts." This kid is going to absolutely murder people when the show airs, and Jin can't even be mad about it. "Sure, sweetheart," he says, leaning into where this is obviously going, and Jungkook's eyes get big. "Let's play some more games." So they play every game in the place, from the ring toss to basketball to the one where you pick the ducks out of a pond at random, until Jungkook has 10 stuffed animals and is on the hunt for his final one. Jin trails after him in awe, taking a few turns of his own, but mostly letting Jungkook do whatever he wants to do and reacting appropriately to it. Against all odds, this really does feel like a date. A weird kind of date that he's never been on in his life, but a date nonetheless. Usually, he met up with men in dark corners or discreet restaurants, when he met up with them at all, but he finds he likes being out in the sunshine with a cute guy, watching him laugh and being invited to laugh alongside him. The last game they stop at is a game of strength, and Jin rolls his eyes when Jungkook rolls up the sleeves of his t-shirt. But not too hard, because the biceps are excellent when he picks up the hammer. "I bet I do it first try," he says, testing the swing. "I'm betting it takes at least 3, says Jin, cocking an eyebrow as Jungkook glowers. He's going to do it in 1, obviously, but Jungkook gets endearingly annoyed when his prowess is questioned, and that will look great on screen. Jungkook swings hard at the pressure pad, like a lumberjack restocking his woodpile in 1 fell swoop, and when the bell dings at the top of the tower, Jin can't help but applaud. He's so caught up in the joy of the moment that when Jungkook steps close and kisses him, he's so unprepared that he almost falls backwards. Jungkook grabs him around the waist, strong enough to keep them both upright, and Jin focuses on not letting the pleasure of that register on his face at all, stretching as hard as he can for memories of his hundreds of screen kisses. They had always been women, and this was a man, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that this is privacy gone public. It's what this is, scripted and fake, and he's been ready for it since the beginning. He just hadn't been ready for it at this exact minute. It helps that Jungkook is as overly enthusiastic in this as he is in everything. Too much pressure, too much everything. It pulls Jin out of the moment nicely, and his hands find Jungkook's hair with more assurance. His long fingers look good winding through silky strands, he's been told many times, and he doesn't see why that should be any different now. Eventually, Jungkook runs out of air, and he pulls back with a slightly unsure look. Jin keeps his hand in his hair for another second, then drops it to his chest and says, "That was a nice surprise." He says it carefully, with the right level of happy humility, and Jungkook relaxes. "I had to pay you back for surprising me with the date." The reverse shot camera gets closer, and Jin lets the moment linger for another breath, before he steps away, still in frame. "Well, if you liked the date half as well as I enjoyed your surprise, then I'm very happy. But the real question is, how are we going to get all of your winnings back to the car?" "I can carry them all, no problem," says Jungkook, opening his arms widely, but he's saved from having to prove it when the carnival worker hands him a huge burlap bag. Jungkook lugs it to the parking lot like Santa Claus, where they film the scene where Jungkook gets his date rose in an efficient 5 minutes that Jin appreciates. The director calls cut only half an hour past schedule, and everyone forgets all about them in their haste to pack up. Jungkook, still holding his bag, determinedly looking very far away from Jin, and just as Jin's about to tell a knock-knock joke to cut the tension, he mutters, "Sorry about that." "About the kiss?" asks Jin, seeing no need to pretend. "It's fine. Perhaps a bit more warning in the future?" "Yeah," says Jungkook. They told me to do it like that, to make it more real. But I shouldn't have. I wouldn't have liked that to happen to me." Jin takes in the genuine anguish on his face and switches to casual flirtation. "It's really fine," he says. "It's a dating TV show, so I can hardly claim to be surprised. And kissing an attractive man is always the highlight of my day." Jungkook blushes and finally looks him in the eye again. "Thanks. But I promise I'll be more polite next time. If there is a next time." "You got your rose, didn't you? So you never know," says Jin. He nudges the bag with his knee. "So who's getting which gift?" "Oh," says Jungkook, looking through the bag. "Hoseok likes giraffes, so he gets the giraffe." "You've already learned that after a day?" asks Jin, amused. "Taehyung told me. He knows everything about everyone. I think he can read minds." "I believe that," says Jin. "So Hoseok likes giraffes." "Right," says Jungkook. He paws through the bag indiscriminately. "And Namjoon takes pictures of crabs like this. Minho has a pet turtle, so he gets that one, and I have a snake for Taehyung. Oh, and this unicorn is for Jimin, and the bull is for Wonho." Jin laughs as he trails off, still sorting, then says, "I'm surprised you bothered to get one for Yoongi. He doesn't strike me as someone who likes soft things." He quickly looks around to make sure they're not being filmed, but the coast is clear. Jungkook does the same check before he leans in and whispers, "Actually, I have a secret." "Talk normally, or they'll come over with a camera for sure," says Jin, leaning away. Jungkook follows suit, then says, "Yoongi's my roommate, and this morning when I woke up for my workout, I saw a pair of huge Kumamon slippers peeking out from under his bed. They were gone later, after he'd gotten dressed, but I know what I saw. So he's getting the teddy bear." Jin snorts at the image, and then he's being summoned to his separate van and says goodbye to Jungkook. Sungchul breaks down what worked and what didn't work on the way back, praising Jin's natural manner and Jungkook's sense of drama, and giving him notes for future dates. Jin absorbs them as best he can while he's still so tired, and he knows he'll need a nap before their second shoot. Jungkook doesn't seem to suffer from that problem, because when they get back, he sprints out of the van, dragging his sack behind him and screaming, "I got gifts for you guys!" And the last thing Jin sees before he heads off to the guest house for his 2-hour break is Jungkook reverently passing out stuffed animals to confused people in the lawn, the camera crews watching their every move.